Okay, I remember after Rav Noach Weinberg, Zichrono Livracha, passed away, people were saying that Rav Weinberg would often lament that we don't tell our children often enough how much Hashem loves them. Now it's become much more popular. I spoke in Stern last night. I said, by show of hands, how many of you have ever heard that Hashem loves you growing up? And everyone's like, yeah, of course. You know, like that's part of Chinuch nowadays. Like, you're being told always that Hashem loves you. When I was a kid, you know, no one ever told us that. We heard, you know, Hashem gets angry when you do this or do that, you know, but we didn't hear too much about Hashem loves you. But we're a religion that emphasizes love a lot, love of other people, love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. And we believe Hashem loves us back, and that we have a responsibility. Not only that, she is shem shemayim misahev al yalcha, that we're supposed to behave in such a way that others are going to love Hashem because of the way that we behave. But when identifying klal gadol b'Torah, Rabbi Akiva identifies a pasuk about love between us, between Jews. And this is a time of year. It's a pasuk in this week's parsha, of course, and it's also a time of year where we typically focus a lot on v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. It's a little bit surprising when you look at the psukim that introduce that pasuk. Like, you would imagine, you know, what's going to lead up to v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? Do bikur cholim, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Give tzedakah, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. In kesef talva, lend money, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Right? That's what you would imagine. The psukim that lead up to it seem overly negative. We have lo sisnes achicha b'vecha, hochech tochicha samisecha, lo siso levchit lo sikom lo sitars b'nei amecha, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Don't be a hateful, spiteful person. Give people mussar when they do things that are wrong. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy? Right? I mean, why is that the context? Those mitzvahs, the context of such a mitzvah, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Furthermore, once we're on the topic of being vengeful, which the Torah tells us not to be, the Torah seems to have a little bit of a double standard over here, because one of the ways that we're supposed to figure out how to work on our midos, the Gemara identifies in a couple of places, Shabbos, Daf Kufam, Gimel, Sota, Daf Yud, Gimel, elsewhere as well, is that we look at the midos that we know that our Kodesh Baruch Hu excels in, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is defined by. So, if our Kodesh Baruch Hu is Chasom Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu's Emes, so I need to be an Emesdika person, right? If our Kodesh Baruch Hu is Malbish Arumim, that Adam and Chava were naked in Gan Eden, and he gave them clothing, so I need to be Malbish Arumim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevakar Cholim. If I'm from Avinu, I need to be Mevakar Cholim. And yet, we have an Isser, Lo Sikom, Lo Sitar, and in the Shir Shalyom on Wednesday, we say, Kel Nekamos Hashem. It's a vengeful God. Right? Hashem in Parshas Hazinu, Lino came. Vengeance is mine. That's how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu play by different rules than he gives us? And a third kasha, the pasuk Lo Sikom Lo Sitar, how do you translate that into English? Don't take revenge and don't bear a grudge. What exactly is the difference between those two things? So Chazal identify a difference between like what you say when someone asks you for a favor who didn't do you a favor the day before. Like fundamentally, what's the difference? I mean, what drives the difference between those two things? So I think there's a critical yisod that helps with these questions and helps, I think, in life in general. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not expect us to be malachim. It's not natural or normal for everybody to love everybody all the time. People get angry, people get hurt, people get insulted because we are people. And that's what happens when you are people, that people sometimes have these feelings, they have negative emotions. The Torah doesn't just tell us blindly love everybody. What the Torah tells us is when these negative emotions creep up, When you start feeling things like this, then you need to do something about that. You can't allow yourself to live with that. You need to reconcile it. You need to figure it out. You need to work through it, even if it's really hard to do that. Now, sometimes a person can have these negative emotions and could just do all the work internally until he just has no space for negativity in his life, you know, where he just doesn't think about the negativity anymore. Or he has a change of perspective, where what he thought was something terrible, now he just has a change of perspective where it doesn't bother him anymore. Where that which used to bother me doesn't bother me. And that's great if someone is able to accomplish that. Depending on the circumstance, you can accomplish that. I remember I once spoke to, when I was a kid, post Shana Aleph, I spoke to Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, my Rebbe, and I asked him about someone who had done something pretty awful to a family member of mine. And Rabbi Kamenetsky said, don't you feel bad for them? I said, for my family member? Yeah. He's like, no, I mean the other person. I said, why would I feel bad for them? They're terrible. And he said that a person has to do things like that in order to feel good about themselves. They're a broken person. Don't you feel bad for a person like that, that they're so broken that that's what they need to do? And it was like such a perspective changer. Like, I no longer hated the person. I had rachmanis on the person. I just felt like maybe we could do something for this person, that that's the way, that they're so broken, that they get so angry so quickly, that they get so... It's nebuch. It's a nebuch. So sometimes you could just have someone that wakes you up and says, look at this a little differently and it'll change. But most, not most often, but oftentimes, these things can't get resolved without having uncomfortable conversations, without checking your ego at the door, admitting at least some level of partial fault, and trying to have a conversation. When you allow things to fester, when we allow negative feelings to stay inside for long enough, they tend to ultimately explode in a way that is not justified. Because it builds and builds and builds till I can't hold it in anymore, and then boom, there's a massive explosion, and it's going to be in a way that's disproportionate to what the original offense was. The Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos writes in Halacha Vav, "Kishiyachti ish leish lo yistemenu v'yishto kemo shenamar bereshayim v'lo dibar Avshalom es Amnon mu'uma lemiravi atov kisana Avshalom es Amnon ela mitzvah lav lahodio v'lomar lo lama sisa li kach v'kach lama chatasa li b'dvar ploni shenamar hocheach tochiach samisecha." Ram says that if a person feels hatred towards somebody, animosity towards somebody, do not be silent about it. That's the derech harashayim, to be silent about it. Rather, have an uncomfortable conversation. Talk about it. Why did you do this to me? Why did, you know, what were you thinking? Is it, did I do something to you to hurt you that caused you to do this to me? Have a conversation. And when the person says, you know what, I was just so overtired, I was in a bad mood, I blew up at you, I really shouldn't have, can you be mochel me? And then immediately be mochel, right? Don't stand on ceremony. But it's so interesting, he gives two examples, right? He gives the example of Amnon and Avshalom, and he gives the example of Avram Avinu. In the case of Avshalom and Amnon, we know the story, right? Amnon had assaulted Tamar in the worst way, and Avshalom, Tamar's brother, reacts pretty mildly. Just ignore it, he tells her. No big deal. And then it goes on to say, Avshalom was like playing it down, telling Tamar, let's not make a big deal out of it. But he was seething. He was seething inside. And he just did not speak to Amnon the Mirave Atov. He wouldn't have a conversation with him. He never said a word to Amnon. And that silence was fatal. It, literally fatal. The hatred festered in his heart for 2 years, and he invited Amnon to a party, ultimately ordered to have Amnon killed, because he just couldn't handle it anymore. Because it was sitting there and sitting there and sitting there until it blew up in a way where Amnon ultimately died for it. And that's what the Rambam points to as how not to behave. Now, keep in mind, Avshalom wasn't the aggressor over here. Amnon was the aggressor over here. The Rambam says, yeah, he was the aggressor, and therefore you should have spoken to him, should have done something about it, instead of just letting it fester. On the other hand, when Avram Avinu was wronged, he always spoke it out, and eventually he reconciled. And one example is Avimelech Melech Gerar steals the well that Avram had dug, and the reaction was pretty harsh. Avram Avinu starts giving him mussar, and it gave Avimelech the chance to defend himself. He says, "Lo yadati mi asa es hadavar hazeh. V'gamata lo yigadta li. I honestly didn't know that this is what my avadim were doing. You never told me about it. V'gamanuchadashamaltibildiayom. This is the first I'm hearing of it. Let me make it right." So by having that conversation, the Rambam points to Avram Avinu as the person who's willing to have that conversation in order to make it right. And the very next pasuk, Ve'yichusu Shneim Bris, then there's a bris, then they all of a sudden they make covenant and everyone lives happily ever after. Machlokas between Yosef and his brothers was so terrible because v'lo yochlu darbel l'shalom, they couldn't sit down and have a normal conversation with them. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz points out, if they could have just had a nice conversation, talk it out, and listen to one another, they could have worked it all out. In the very last two halachos in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam describes the difference between no kamen and no ter. No kamen is refusing to do your friend a favor because he refused to help you. Right? The guy wouldn't lend you his axe yesterday, so he asks you for your axe today, and you say, or whatever kli he wants, and you say, no, you didn't help me, I'm not going to help you. You showed me yesterday what kind of friend you are, so I reciprocate in kind. Noter is that you do the favor, but you let him know that you're still angry. I'm not like you. I'm a better friend. I'm not such a jerk. But fundamentally, what it really is that no kavod is a moment. It's a moment where you do a maisa of vengeance. Noter is allowing something to sit inside of you, and it's a separate iser. It's a feeling that just stays and stays, and the longer it stays, it grows. And whether you say it explicitly to the person, I'm going to lend it to you, even though you didn't. So I didn't take revenge, but it's still there inside of me, and it changes me. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks once said, animosity is not a safe emotion; it can explode into action at any time. Right? Very wise words. You think, okay, so I don't have to like everybody, so I can't stand that person. It's not a safe emotion. You know, I once received an email a few years ago. I thought it was like a musr shmuz I got from a woman in the community. She sent me this email. Good afternoon, Rabbi Leibowitz. I'm going to read you the email. I thought this was amazing. I hope this email finds you well. I hesitated in sending this email because I'm a more reserved, inconspicuous person who doesn't really open up their mouth unless I find myself in a position where I find it necessary to speak up. Hence this email. This past Shabbos, my husband and my father davened at the Ashkama Minyan in BKNW. That's my shul. My father looks forward to going to BKNW when he visits because he loves to hear you speak. Thank you very much. It is to my understanding that there were several opportunities for my father to receive an aliyah, but it was given instead to the usual participants of the shul. Please understand, my husband wasn't upset for his own kavod in not receiving an aliyah himself. We understand that we are no longer members and we may have lost such a privilege. However, we are both saddened and bothered by the lack of respect toward my father, an elder in shul and a guest. I don't know the reason he was ignored, but I am shocked by this lack of respect. My father didn't mention a word because he is humble and he avoids any confrontation. My husband mentioned it because he was embarrassed and has the utmost respect for my father. My father deserved better, and this community deserves better. I hope this email is being conveyed respectfully. If we have learned nothing this past year, is right after COVID, it's that life is short and precious, and I don't want to spend it harboring ill feelings, and it shouldn't be spent disregarding our elders. Thank you for all that you and the Rebbetzin constantly provide for our community, especially during these most unprecedented times. So, right, what's your reaction to an email like that? It's like Rabbinics 101, right? So, what would you react to that? That maybe there's something deeper over there. They don't teach us in Friday classes. So good. This is your Friday class, right? This is professional rabbinics. So it happens to be there was a reason her father didn't get an aliyah, and it wasn't because he did anything nefarious or anything. Here was my response, and then I'll get to what I think really happened over here. Here's my response. Hi, so and so. Thanks so much for reaching out. I'm particularly glad that you did, because there's actually a simple explanation. That minyan has been running for months with only the Baal Kore getting all of the aliyos. Remember those? That tkufa, right? Where the Baal Kore had to get all the aliyos because of COVID. This past Shabbos was the first time that the Gabbai, Dr. Frogel, felt that it's safe to give aliyos to those who are fully vaccinated. It was right after the vaccine came out and only medical professionals were fully vaccinated at the time. He didn't give me an aliyah either because all of the aliyos were only given to people that he knew were fully vaccinated. Perhaps he could have asked your father if he was 2 weeks post the second vaccine, but I think he was just playing it safe. Of course, it's always a pleasure to have your father in shul, and I enjoyed seeing both him and your husband. I hope this doesn't leave a bad taste in his mouth, and I really hope to see you guys more often. Right? That was the response. Right? Pretty reasonable response. So she responded back, listen to this. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz, I hope all is well. Thank you for taking the time to respond and clarify the situation to me. I guess I jumped the gun when it came to my father's honor. My apologies for not giving the benefit of the doubt. I will work on that. Since Dovi Herman's passing, Olav HaShalom, was a dear friend, a member of our shul, who passed away from COVID. Not a day goes by that I don't try to improve and work on myself. So this is definitely something I can work on too. Thank you again and have a wonderful Shabbos. You appreciate what happened here? Here's my Pirush Rashi. What happened over here? I think this is Mamash Musar Shmuz. Meaning, she was upset about something, right? What do people normally do if they're upset about something? Usually in shul politics, it's something small, right? It's like Chamishi at the Hashkama Minyan, you know? Like, it's something like that in shul politics, right? That's the way things work. But obviously, she felt like, we used to belong to the shul, now we don't really. Are we outsiders? Are we no longer? Right? There was a certain sense of like, are they still going to be welcoming to us or whatever? And feeling, so a little bit more on the lookout for any sort of, you know, feeling of being slighted. And the way a person normally reacts to that is they immediately go to Lashon Hara, right? Immediately around the Shabbos table, they're so unfriendly in that shul and they have no respect, and it's probably because the leadership stinks and whatever, you know, like, immediately that's where they would go. She didn't do that. She didn't do that, as far as I know, right? So, but why does that happen? Because something small happens, and then a person holds it inside, and then whatever small happened becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger inside of the person. It grows inside of a person, like your parents told you if you swallow the watermelon pits, right? It grows and grows and grows inside of you until, like, you think it's the biggest deal. Now, you all heard that, and you're like, my God, what a kleinigkeit, what a small thing. Who would get upset about something like that? And that's oftentimes what people get upset about, is in their mind, it's a big deal. And anybody else they would try to explain it to would be like, what are you even talking about? But it becomes a big deal. So what's the right way to deal with it? What's the proper way to deal with it? So I think she did exactly right. There's a line that caught me in the original email. Life is short and precious, and I don't want to spend it harboring ill feelings. What does that mean? I don't want to spend it harboring ill feelings. Lo sitar. I don't want to do that. It's an isser in the Torah. I don't want feelings to fester inside of me. And therefore, I'll talk it out. I'm going to bring it to you. And it's an uncomfortable. No one wants to write that email to the rabbi. That's not a comfortable thing. You know, she probably had to like shake before she had said, you know how scary I am, right? So and then to send such an email. But that's absolutely the right thing to do. And then, like, immediately, as soon as it's talked out, and as soon as the explanation is given, not like, someone should have told him that, you know, or whatever. No, immediately, I need to work on myself. I need to grow. This is something, down the cuff's close is something I need to work on. I thought it was godless. I mean, that's exactly the point of what the Torah is trying to say. So based on that nekuda, of trying to work out our differences, even if it's uncomfortable, I think we can answer the questions. We already answered losikam losita, what the difference is. But when the Torah teaches us, it's not painting a picture of a person who never gets insulted or never gets offended. A human being gets insulted, gets offended. It's saying that when you feel hatred, when you feel animosity, instead of letting it build up in your heart, do not allow that sinna to be in your heart. Instead of reacting with more negativity, lo sikom, don't react with negativity. And instead of putting on a show of forgiveness while continuing to harbor ill will, lo sitar. But have a conversation. Hocheach tochiach. Right? Give a little musr. Send the email that says, this isn't right. I'm mochan for my father's kavod. And ultimately, that's going to be the ticket, the path that leads to the reason that Hashem can be a vengeful God, even as we're expected to avoid vengeance, is that in human interactions there's a responsibility to seek justice in the form of, you know, an unbiased and qualified third party, a Beis Din or whatever. The model of the idea of a Beis Din is meant to promote din and shalom. But in order to be able to stomach all of the injustices that we see on a daily basis, because human beings will never be able to figure it all out, we have to know that there's recourse and there's a way to reconcile. Because Hashem is the ultimate arbiter of justice. I mean, we'll be able to live with a lot of the things that happen in our life that are not fair, because we know there's someone that makes everything fair in the end of the day. That Hashem doesn't overreact, Hashem has no personal negios. And Hashem can take vengeance when necessary. So yeah, kel nekamos Hashem. And that allows me to live with a certain sense of bitachon, with a certain sense that everything's going to work out. it's Hashem's willingness to do so that comforts us in knowing that in the long run, everything evens out and everybody will get exactly what they deserve. But life is too short, and we can't spend that time harboring ill feelings toward other people. So this is a message for the period of Sfira, where we have to work on being known kavod zelazeh. And part of that is counterintuitive, because most of us, certainly I, but I'm sure many others, shy away from conflict and as much as we possibly can. Just don't want to have that conversation. Sometimes you have to figure out the right context. You have to figure out the right timing. Timing is critical. I once read a book called When. That was the title of the book. And the whole thing was about you could have the same conversation at two different times, and it will go very different ways. So figuring out the right timing, the right context, the right medium. Is it a WhatsApp message? Is it a note? Is it an email? Is it a phone call? Is it a in-person meeting? Right? Figuring out the right medium for that conversation. And ultimately, that's part of our responsibility of the Avta L'Reacha Kamocha. Okay.